Let's open our Bible to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, the first page of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, from verse 1. From chapter 1, verse 1, I'll read. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Then God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. I'll read verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Let's go over to verse 20. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Let's go over to verse 25. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." It's up to there. The purpose of having Bible seminars such as this one is very important. It is not to convert people with other religions into Christians, or to ask them to go to close by churches or come to this church. It is not to request or tell you any of these things. As I know, there are many people who go to church already, but among them, there are still so many people who do not understand the truth and just live religious life vaguely. So whether you go to church or not, having nothing to do with that, we are born as men in this world, and we live in this world one life, and we need to depart from this world. And in this life, there is something that everyone needs to think deeply about and needs to solve. And they are very important and impending problems. And let's first think about these problems, and let us also endeavor to obtain the answers to these problems. Someone said, "Man is a thinking reed. What should we be thinking about? How to live a good life? How to live well? How to eat well?" There are things that are more important than that. Something more important. What is it? What is the more important problem? Everybody thinks about this. and also talk about this, but they do not get the true answer and they pass by it. But it's not something that we can pass by. But so many people overlook at this question, and they pass by this question, and they cannot get the answer until they die. What are they? Let's think about these. Does God truly exist? In some ways, it is a very ordinary question. It is something that all people think about. But does God, who has created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, exist really? The Creator, the absolute ruler of this universe, does He exist? And how can we know that God? If God exists, then what relationship do we have with that God? And that's the issue. Let's just list some of the questions simply. Now here, in order to save some time, I've prepared this presentation on the screen. The greatest problems of life. The first is God. In our words, in Korean, it's literally translated into the One. And I think it is a very appropriate translation because God is only one. The absolute controller and the creator of the universe can be only one. And does that God exist really? And also, secondly, spirits. Do we have spirits? Do spirits exist? People think about and talk about spirits, but they do not know whether they have spirits or not, and they live their lives. Not the spirits of other people, but your own spirits. What do you think about this? And we also have one more. If the spirits exist, we have afterlife, the world beyond our death, after our death. And it is an eternal place where we go. Does the eternal world exist? What are your opinions on this? Have you obtained answer to this question? Do you think heaven and hell exist? And also, next issue is true happiness. All people want to be happy, but what is true happiness? Do you become happy if you have a lot of money? Or do you have happiness if you have all kinds of things that people want in this world? What do you think about that? And we also have more problems. The beginning and the fate of the world history. The history of the world must have started at some point. There must have been the starting point. And if that's the case, there must be the end. The world in which we live now is not perfect. It is imperfect, it is incomplete. That's why there is beginning and there is also the end. Something perfect should not have the beginning or the end. But this world will have its end. And we also live in a very important period in the history, 21st century, where science and civilization have advanced so much. And how this world changes rapidly, we do not know. And how will this world turn out to be in the future? As many people expect, will we face a very happy world? Or will we face fearful and miserable world with all kinds of terrible events? This is also something that we need to solve. Then how can we get the answer to this question? If there is the question, then there must be the answer. Now let's first talk about the questions. And next is good and evil and their consequences. If God exists, and if God controls the world that God created, then why is it that this world is full of sins and evil, and the wicked people gain power, and the truth is despised? This world is full of conflicts and malpractices. Some people are treated unfairly and they have resentment all their lives and they die with resentment and in bitterness. Why do things such as these happen in this world? Where is the justice where people are judged according to what they have done? When and how will this happen? And this is a riddle that we have to solve. And also one more thing is Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? 2006 years ago from now, he was born in the land of Israel and he died on the cross when he was 33 years old. And he was a Jewish young man, Jesus Christ. Why do people call him the Son of God? Why do people call him Christ? Christ is a Greek word. If you translate it, it means Savior. Someone who saves. Why is he called Savior, Christ? Why do they say you have to believe in him? This is also a problem that we have to solve. And also, another problem is the way to salvation. We were born in sin and we have gone astray from God. And we have fallen away from God. And that's how we have been living our lives. And this sinner, how can a sinner be forgiven of sins and be saved in spirit and have relationship, right relationship with God and not go to hell but go to heaven? How? Do you just have to go to church? Do you have to do something zealously for God? Then can you go to heaven? The way to salvation. This is a very important question too. But Jesus said, unless a man is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. To be born again is to be born the second time. There are many things that are born twice in this world. There is nothing that flies among the things that fly that does not born again twice. Even flies are born as maggots and they turn into flies. In a little pond, a little worm in this little pond will turn into dragonflies and fly away. There are many things that are born as eggs first. And when the mothers sit on these eggs, the eggs hatch as chicks and they are all born twice. And little worms that crawl go into the pupa and they are turned into butterflies and they fly away. And they are also born twice. For a man to be born again means just like we are born first time in physical body, we need to be born again the second time in spirit. This is the birth. This does not happen as a result of our effort, not as a result of our good deeds or very religious deeds. Or just because you dedicate something such as money to God, it does not come as a result of your own effort or just because you have attained some kind of spirituality. As the expression suggests, it is to be born. When you are born in physical body, you did not have to do anything. The mother has gone through the labor to give birth to the child. To be born of God does not happen as a result of our own effort or our own things. But the Bible says you have to be born again. I had been going to church for more than 10 years. I had a zeal. I was a very zealous Christian. And I dedicated the rest of my life and I went to theological college and studied the Bible. And I was in charge of a church and for 2 years I was an evangelist and preached on the pulpit. And I discovered I was not born again. Before that, I thought I could go to heaven at the forefront. And I dared other people to be as zealous as I was because I had a lot of zeal for him. All my friends were believing people. And from early morning, early dawn in the morning, and until I go to bed at night, I prayed, studied the Bible, evangelized. And that was all my life. I only thought about God. That was my life. But I found out that I was not born again after 2 years of preaching on the pulpit. The Bible says, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So I knew that I could not even go into the kingdom of God, and I knew that I would go to hell if I died on that day. I couldn't tell this to anyone, and I was in agony for a long time. But on the 30th of October in 1962, Jesus, whom I knew only in terms of doctrines and theory, I actually got to know him, and I truly understood the truth, the grace of God. And I had heard about that for a long time, so many times, and I learned about it, and I had preached about the grace, but it was not just known in my head, but I truly believed in my heart. I didn't have to try to believe. It was believed in my heart. All the problems were solved on that day, and I was born again on that night. And ever since until now, for more than 44 years, I have been preaching this fact to so many people because it is very, very important. As Jesus said, unless man is born again. Now, if you're a man, you have to be born again. If you're a human, animals do not need to be born again. Animals die and that's it. That's their end. But because we have spirits, we do not face the ending just because we die. We have eternal world where we have to go after death. 10 months in mother's womb is a preparation for this world's life. And this world's life is preparation for eternal world. Because we were born from our parents, we live in this world for several decades. In order to live in this in this eternal world, in heaven, we need to be born again of God. The most important purpose to study the Bible during this Bible seminar is to get the answer to that. How can I be saved? How can I be born again? Those who are born again know they are born again. If you do not know whether you are born again or not, or if you cannot tell how you became born again, that means that's a sign that you are not born again. There can be the sign that you're not born again. You need to solve this problem now. If you have been to church for many decades, you need to go through this experience of being born again. And also, even if you haven't been to church at all, if you listen to the seminar from the beginning to the end, you can be born again, without doubt. Why? Because it does not require a long time. Because it's not something that we do as a result of our own effort, but it's something that God does. As long as our heart is prepared, it can happen even now. But we need to prepare our hearts to be saved, truly to be saved. We need to spend a few days to study the words of God. So we have these very important problems, aren't they? These problems are the ones that we have to solve while we are alive. And we have to solve these problems, all of them, this time, during this seminar. Someone might think, how can we solve such important questions in a few days by studying the Bible 2 hours a day for a few days, for a week? But I'm telling you this because we can. During this short period of time, we can solve these problems, and wouldn't that be great? If a dead man is raised from dead, that's a miracle, but that's not the only miracle. To solve these problems is even a greater miracle. But man cannot solve man's problem. No other man can solve these problems. The only one who can solve these problems is God Himself. But how does God solve these problems? Through the Bible that we have now. In this Bible are the answers to all the questions. Then what is the Bible? What is the Bible? That's also very important. The Bible we have, let's have a look at it on the screen. This is last year's statistics. The Bible was all over the place, all over the world, and it has been translated into 2,377 languages. There are many thousands of languages around the world. And some languages have only verbal speech, but they do not have characters. And these languages, you do not need characters, but you just need to preach the gospel in speaking language. But the Bible has been translated into most of the languages that can be translated into. Jesus said, unless the gospel has been preached all over the world, the end will not come. Only when it is preached all over the world, then the end will come. The gospel has to be preached to all over the world, and an opportunity to be saved and to be born again has to be preached to all the people of the world, and then the end will come. So for this gospel to be preached to all over the world, the Bible has to be translated first. The Old Testament was recorded in Hebrew, and the New Testament recorded in Greek language. And that has been translated into 2,377 languages. So there is no other religious book or any other famous book that has been translated into this many languages. But this Bible has been translated into languages that can be translated into most of the languages. Korean Bible has been sold more than 60 million copies, and this is number one bestseller printed material in the world. The bestseller of the world, and it is read by the most people, and that's the Bible. Did you know that? In some places, they tear away the Bible. But some countries, you need to make an oath on the Bible. If you do not do that, you cannot be the president of that country. Many people love the Bible, and many people believe in the Bible literally. And this Bible, as I told you, was written in Hebrew and then Greek language. And long time ago, when the Bible was recorded, they did not have papers like we do now. It was recorded on lambskin. Sheepskin, very thin sheepskin. It's very, very old, so it is difficult to find the original. But we have many copies that were copied by hand. These are hand-copied manuscripts, and we have many of these in many places around the world. So this, the Bible was recorded on the leather and preserved in jars. Many years ago, in Qumran cave in Israel, many pots were discovered. And in these pots, most of the Old Testament books were discovered. And this is amazing, and it is still kept in Israel. And these are the scrolls that were discovered in Qumran cave. These are very old and they have worn out, but they are exactly the same as the Bible we have today. And they were also recorded in papyrus. So the Old Testament was recorded from 3,500 years ago from now, and that is about B.C. 1,500. So that's about 3,500 years ago from now. And the New Testament was completed about 1,900 years ago from now, AD 100. So the Old Testament from 1,500 BC until AD 100 for the New Testament, it took 1,600 years, and there are 39 Old Testament books and 27 New Testament books. The Bible we have now have actually come from the 66 books, and there are 40 writers, 40 reporters who recorded the Bible. And it took 1,600 years to write all 66 books. And they have been brought together to make one Bible. Is there any other book that has been made in that way in this world? They have different backgrounds, and they have different civilizations and all kinds of different conditions. Some of the writers of the Bible are kings, generals, scholars, fishermen, and tax collectors, and doctors. Some of them had high positions, but some of them were very ordinary people. They were educated, they were uneducated. They had all kinds of different backgrounds and identities, and they have become the writers of the Bible. And they were recorded in different places, and they were recorded by different people with different identities. And they were recorded in different times. But despite that, they have come together as one book. If you actually bring these kind of books as one book, then the contents of the book would be all over the places. But this Bible, as just like a long novel was written by one person from the beginning to the end, the Bible has one content. Why is it? Although there are many people who wrote the Bible, but it is there is only one who actually has authored the Bible. Whether you write it with pen or fountain pen or pencil when you write something, it is not the pen that is writing. It is the person who is holding the pen who is writing. The people who wrote the Bible were like the pen, pens held by God. They wrote as they were told by God. God only recorded the Ten Commandments by himself, and all the others were recorded by men. But they did not write any way they liked. They wrote according to what God said. So we call the people who wrote the Bible not authors. That's not right. Some people call them the authors of the Bible, but that's not right. That's wrong. We have to really call them the reporters. When President makes announcements, the reporters actually announce that on the newspaper, and it is reported by such reporter. People who wrote the Bible are reporters, about 40 of them altogether. They received the words of God and they wrote. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 1, it says, "When I was here a certain time, the words of God came to me, and he told me to write what I tell you." And he just wrote as he was told by God, as he saw the work of God, as he heard what God told him, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And also 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, "The prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." They did not write or they did not say anything according to their own initiative, but they were inspired by God. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. And as they were given by God, they recorded. That's why if you look at Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16, it says, "Search from the book of the Lord and read." This book is called the book of the Lord, book of God. Someone can write his ideas and his thoughts, and he can actually make it into a book, and he can spread it all around the world. Things like that can happen. God, for his special purpose and for his plan, in order to let man know about God, God told man who has flesh his plans and his mysteries, why God has created man, what is the plan and purpose towards man, and how much God loves man. Although man committed sin, how can this man who is a sinner be forgiven of their sins and go to God? And these kinds of things were told to God, told to people by God, and that is the Bible. As evidence to believe upon, and the words that God has given us, God, that's the Bible. If the Bible has been made up by people, if they just write any way they liked, if they made it up and said, God said, you know, just taking advantage of the name of God, then this would be the greatest lie that has been manufactured by mankind. But even though we have 21st century knowledge and science, who can deny the Bible? Who can say the Bible is wrong? If they do not investigate the Bible and if they criticize, we can't help it. But if you study the Bible in detail, you will know automatically that these are the words of God. That's why how this Bible is the words of God. We have the responsibility to learn why that's the case. We need to find the evidences from the Bible why this is the word of God. Even though we have advanced science and even if the history goes by, it becomes more certain that this word of God, the Bible, is the word of God. If this Bible is the word of God, absolute truth, and it contains the evidences on which we can believe in God, we have the responsibility to study the words of God. We need to learn this Bible and understand the Bible, we have the responsibility. And we need to go before God and establish right relationship with God. And when we study the Bible correctly, we will really know whether it is the Word of God or whether it was invented by man. We can actually find that out quite easily. We have quite a bit of intelligence, and we have very advanced science, and if you say, just believe in the Bible, who can just believe in the words of God? Whether it is the word of God, or whether it is composed and made up by man, or it is the words of Satan, whatever it is, if you study, we will find out. If you learn and if you study, if it's word of God, we will see many evidences from the words of God. And to believe is to understand the truth. If you understand the truth, you will believe automatically. If you look at the faith, the word faith, especially in Chinese character, it is composed of man with words. To believe the words of God, to take the words of God as a man, is the faith. This Bible is the word of God. And if you learn the Bible and if you cannot discover any evidence that this is the word of God, then you can just throw it away and give it up altogether. Whether the Bible is the Word of God or it's something, it is the greatest lie that man has made up. It's one or the other. It is not moral book. It is not religious book. It is either the Word of God or it is the greatest lie. And Jesus, the person called Jesus, is he truly the Son of God? He is either the Christ or he is the mental patient and who has spoken the greatest lie. Because he said, if you believe in him, then you will receive eternal life and not face destruction. He said, he is the way and truth and life. There's no one who spoke in such a way. About way, about life, and about truth. People have spoken about that, but there's no one who said, I am the way, truth, and life. Who dared to say something like that? And who said, someone who has seen me has seen the Father, God? As he said, he was either the Son of God or he was the greatest liar in this world. It is one or the other. People say that Jesus is world's four greatest holy people, but that's not the case. That's not right. That's why through this Bible, we have to get the answer. We have to have some kind of decision. You can't just go to church and just expect to have faith. You can still go to church and have religious life without understanding the truth in the Bible. And if you do that, there's no difference from just going to Buddhist temples and praying to Buddha. Coming to church and just saying amen, it can all be idolatry, not having the true faith. To have faith, you have to know. If you know, you can have faith. If you don't know properly, then you cannot have faith. You cannot even have faith in someone who can you see. And how can you believe in God whom you cannot see? That's why we need to study the Bible in detail, and we need to find the truth from the Bible and have faith on that. Or if you really study the Bible and if you cannot find any evidences that the Bible is the Word of God, then you can just give it up altogether and you can live your life any way you like. That's probably wiser. If you don't have any faith in your heart, if you just force yourself to go to church and give service and pray to God, your time's taken away, your money's taken away, you can really lose your money by going to church and you will have a great loss in your life. Other people are going to the great outdoors on the weekends and they have great time. And just because you believe in Jesus Christ, you go to church and sit there and spend an hour to attend the service. If you don't really have the great faith, if you don't have the true faith, then that would be a great loss in your life. Wouldn't that be right? If you really want to have faith, you have faith knowing the truth in detail. Or if you don't really find any faith or evidences in the Bible, then you should throw it away altogether. You have to choose one or the other. Although this is a very short period of time, that is possible. And all those people who have come to this Bible seminar, many of you, whether you go to church or whether you have other religions, or whether you go to church already, you are probably asked to come to this Bible seminar so many times. People who brought you here have begged you to come to this Bible seminar, and you probably, some of you probably do not even know why you're here. But there are good reasons to come to this place. So just, you know, be patient and listen to what the Bible has to say to you this during this Bible seminar. And if you do that, I'm sure this will be the best opportunity in your life. And if you don't want to go to church, don't go to church. Don't go to church, that's okay. But you still need to study the Bible. Some people say, there are many hypocrites in the Bible. I know that. There are many hypocrites. And this Christianity, not all of them, but in this Christianity, many Christianity institutions have gone away from the truth in the Bible, and they have gone wrong. They have either compromised with the world, and they have become sect. But the Bible has not changed. The Bible, nobody can correct it. Nobody can change it. Nobody can add or take away from the Bible. It is God who recorded the Bible. It is God who keeps the Bible as it is. So you need to find evidences from the Bible for your faith. And if that happens, you will never be disappointed. So even if you don't go to church, I really ask you to study the Bible. And also this time, just 1 week, not a long time, just 1 week. Just make yourself available and give your time. And if you can solve the problems, all these problems during this week, you know, you need to solve the problems to have faith. If you want to have faith in someone else, you know, if you have faith in someone else, you can actually let that person take charge of all your money. But even if you want to have faith, you cannot have faith. It's because you do not know the person. If you do not know what kind of person he is, what's his personality, then you can have doubts. But if all the doubts have gone, you can trust that person, you can have faith in him, and you can be comfortable in your heart. To have faith is like to have relationship of parents and children, and husband and wife, and very close friends. The relationship that you can have faith, fellowship in. If you believe in God and have fellowship with God, that'll be good. If you sit in the church and try to God, and if you all you remember is your sins, and you think God is the judge and you are the prisoner, then that's wrong. And you cry all morning, you cry all night because of your sins, you cry. And that's because you did not establish the correct relationship with God. Little child might say, Mom, yes. And that relationship of love, the relationship with God must be also that with us. That has to be formed. And in order to form that relationship, all the doubts in our hearts have to go away. And if they go away, then you will have the faith automatically. And if that faith comes to you once, then it'll never go away. Because the truth doesn't change, the faith will not change either. So we'd like to solve these problems one by one. Now the first problem, the Creator God. Let's go. The first verse in the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible doesn't have to add any explanations to this. About God, you know, who is God, and God is like that, or God is like this. You know, it doesn't need any extra explanation. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning means the beginning of everything. The beginning, this world, this universe must have the beginning. And this heaven and earth, this heavens and the earth that we live in now. And long time ago, the beginning of this world is this beginning, and He created the heavens and the earth. God who created the heavens and the earth. If you look at Hebrews chapter 3 verse 4, it says, every house is built by someone, but he who has built all things is God. House like this is built by someone. If you are a white house on the top of the mountain, a beautiful house, and someone might say, oh, what kind of animal built that house? And that person, he is out of his mind, or it is a joke. Someone must have built that house. Not only that house, but everything, just like this cup, Nothing is made by coincidence or automatically. Someone must have made it. The clothes you're wearing now, the shoes, accessory, even little fashion accessory, everything is made by someone. There is the maker, and there's the purpose of that making. And what about these flowers? Who made these flowers? Who made the birds? And who made all the stars in the sky? And what about the earth that we live in now? Who made the sun? Can you really say that these were made automatically by chance? By chance can never work. If you look at Acts chapter 17, verse 24, it says, God who made the world and everything in it. God who made the world and everything in it. And that is God. Many people do not try not to believe that God on purpose. And they try to deny that God has created all these. That's why they make up the word by coincidence, automatically. And they invent the word called evolution. What evolved into the flowers? Monkeys evolved into human beings? And that is the lie of all the lies. If the monkeys became man, then the monkeys of today, you must be able to see some monkeys that are very close to human beings. And sometimes the monkeys have to go to the ward office to register identity because he has just become a man. And also you have to have some kind of missing link of the bones, of the missing links between man and monkeys. It is all lies and it was all made up. But there are still some people who believe in evolution theory. Some very famous scientists say this. If for amoeba to evolve into human beings is like this little nail that fell into this great desert has turned into a Boeing 747 over millions of years. In fact, the probability of the evolution theory to be correct is less than 1/1,000,000th of the probability of that nail turning into the plane. And people believe in this lie. And when they are told of the truth, they try to deny the truth. Some people become angry when they are told about God without a reason. What did God do wrong? What did God do anything that is wrong? And he lives in the world that God created, and he breathes the air and drinks the water that God created, and he becomes offended and he is angry when he is told about God. There are many gods in this world. Why do I have to believe in God? That's what he says. And it is like saying, do you have to serve your father and your mother? There are many other fathers and mothers you can worship, you can serve. And that person is out of mind even more than 100 times than the people who deny their parents. That's why if you look at Psalm chapter 14 verse 1, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Someone who says there is no God is the foolish person. Foolish person is something who denies the natural principle. What is the natural principle? If you have something, if you see something, oh, this is really well made. Who made this? What's the brand? You think of these things. And who made this? Even if you see some antique that was made hundreds of years ago, you can actually see the skills and art of that thing. When you see this universe, what do you think about? You must think about God who created these things in this universe. Foolish means that means that you have been deceived. You are deceiving yourself. If you say that there is no God, that person is the most hypocrite in the world. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This earth was confused and it was empty and it was void and it was dark. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. It's very simple. As we learned in the school, this earth was formed from lava and it was full of fire and it is referred as confusion.
It was, the earth was without form and void. It means that there was no life, there was no insect, there was no plant. And also, the darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth, the waters. This earth had very, very deep waters. The fire went under the ground into the core of the earth, and the face of the earth was covered with water. That's waters in verse 2. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Doesn't that sound scientific? And this is very simple explanation, simple description. To hover is for hen to sit on the eggs, and this is the same expression in Hebrew language. If you see egg, it's nothing. It does not know where it is. It does not know what his mother is. And you just open this egg, and if you actually stir it up with the chopstick, it disappears. It becomes nothing. But if that egg is set on by the hen, then it becomes a chick after 21 days. And this, the earth was without form and void, and this darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God's face, God's Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. And this world became the world with full of living things. There are more than a million kinds of species of plants. And there are more than a million, millions of species of animals. And all these were created, and everything was made beautifully, and all that was made for man. Space scientists, when they look onto the earth, they say that this earth is very beautiful. This earth was made beautifully by God for man. So in order to create this earth, God's Spirit was hovering on the face of the earth. And that's where God's light was created. And the waters were divided between the waters below the firmament and also above the firmament. Because there is very thick water layer, just like clouds, the water, there was a water layer above the firmament. So people of long time ago, when they drew the sun in elliptical shape because of the refraction of light that travels through the waters above the firmament. In the times of Noah's flood, this water fell onto the face of the earth. And after that, the drawings of the sun is all circular, spherical. And let dry land come out, and let the earth bring forth all the plants, all the seed, and all the fruit trees by its kind, after its kind. There are more than a million species of plants. If you look at the flowers like these, I've been to Canada, the islands, Victoria Island, and there was a park that was decorated with flowers. It was a very big park, and they had all the flower species from all around the world, and it was so beautiful. And when I saw the flowers, is there anyone who is angry and who fights because he sees the flowers? The flowers make your heart comfortable, you know, joyful and happy. Whenever you see flowers, you actually smile. You open your mouth out of awe. How beautiful are they? Who made these? Why are these flowers made? Women put on makeups and wear nice clothes and go out. Why? Why do you do that? For people to see. To be seen. If you are not seen at all by anybody, if you're living by yourself, would you put makeup? You'll probably go out even without washing your face. These flowers were made so they are to be seen. Look at me. That's what they're saying. And very appetizing fruits are born from trees, and they're saying, eat me, eat me. If there is no one who eats the fruits and just drops because it is rotten, then it'll be a shame. And all these things were created for a purpose. The birds of the air were created after its kinds, and the fish of the sea were created after their kinds, and all the creeping things and cattle and animals and beasts, the cattle, in the beginning, from the beginning, the cattle were created to be cattle, like horse and cows and pigs and dogs and chickens. The animals that can live with man were created from the first place as cattle. And creeping things and all these things All the lives on the earth were made or created after their kinds. Look at the birds in the air. There are so many kinds of birds. What about the fish? There are so many kinds of fish. When I go to the sea, there's something that I want to see, and that they are the fish in the sea. I can't actually go scuba diving like those divers, but what do you call it? This snorkel, the pipe. If I actually go and have a look inside the water, you can see large fish, small fish, all kinds of fish, and they're so beautiful. You've seen them in aquariums, right? And there are so many different colors. Why is it that they have so many beautiful colors? Who made all these? Were they made automatically by coincidence? The creeping things and beasts. Have a look at the animal kingdom. Now, I don't have much time to watch television, so I don't watch much. But whenever I have time, I try to watch the program called Animal Kingdom. That's the most interesting programs. All the other programs were actually made up by men, but the animal kingdom is the great nature that as God has created. They live in different ways and they have different wisdoms to live their lives. Who has given them the wisdom? Who has given them their life? If you look at the Job, it says, go and ask the birds in the air and ask the beasts in the field and go and ask the fish in the sea. But do not these creatures talk about the Creator, the God? They may not speak in human language, but they are speaking to us about the Creator who created them. And God has given them the wisdom they need to live in this world. Is it by coincidence, by chance? God created everything by their kinds. And lastly, God made man. Now let's have a look at this video clip about creation. Let's see how God made this world so skillfully. Who made all these? Who made all these things? It was good in God's eyes when God made all these. When you see these things, it was good in God's eyes, but also it was good in our eyes. Even if you see these things, and if you don't think about the fact that God has made all these, you think they have come in made by chance, and that's why people do not appreciate that. Let's have a look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Lastly, God created man in his own image. And after that, God told them to have control and dominion over the fish of the sea, beasts of the field, whether you eat, whether you control them. Let's also have a look at some more things on the screen. Now God created this earth. And first God created plants. And after that God created animals. Animals can live with plants, so that's why plants were created first and the animals were created after that. And God created men. For men to live, we need both animals and plants, and all these plants and animals were created for man, and man was created for God. The owner of the master of this earth is man. If you actually make a house and prepare all kinds of facilities and cultural facilities is for man to enjoy that. All the things that were created on this earth were created for man. And man was created for God. When it says man was created after God's image, it's talking about the spirit of man. If you look at John chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God is spirit. God has given man the spirit that can live forever. And to create man in his image also has another meaning. When parents have their children, the children look like the parents. Why? Because they haven't been given the life from the parents. They have been given everything from the parents. And they are the model of their parents. And they are more like incarnation of the parents. And they are the heirs of the life of the parents. That's why parents love the children they look like, who look like themselves. And they can give everything. They have given life to their children. And they want to give and give and even give more. And you give everything to their children and parents pass away. But men, sometimes if you don't have things to give to your parents, you cannot give your children. But why did God form man in his image? To give everything of God to the man. Because he loves us. Because he loves us, he wants to give us everything. What is the everything that belongs to God? For our spirits to live in heaven, in kingdom of God eternally together. And to give everything in his kingdom. Man who was created in the image of God, if the life in this world for several decades is everything and that's it, that's not right. This world's life for several decades is the preparation to go into the eternal kingdom. Little worm that crawls on the earth is preparing to fly away as a dragonfly. Several decades of this world is only a preparation stage for this eternal world. Let's have a look at Psalm chapter 49. Old Testament. Psalm chapter 49, verse 20. Let's read together. A man who is in honor, yet does not understand, is like the beasts that perish. A man is in honor. Honor means honorable, means very precious. Man is a very precious being. Why? Because man is spirit that was formed after God's image. But if you do not understand that, if man does not understand the value of human life, is like the beasts that perish. If you think if you die, when you die everything finishes, you're even worse than animals. Animals can even live many hundreds of years, some animals. But man cannot even live 100 years. And there are animals that can fly over the face of the sky. And some birds can even cross over continents. And they don't need to buy airline tickets. They don't need to get on board the plane. They just fly over the Pacific Ocean. And they can run around in this natural bush. And compared to these animals, what is man that we have so much worries and problems and agonies? What kind of animals have to worry about having to sit for examination or going to the army or have to pay the debt for the credit cards? And what about men? What else is there that is as wicked as man? What is better than animals? In man, if there is no spirit, we are no better than animals. And some people say that death is everything and you will perish after death. You need to look into yourself, into the mirror, then only you can see yourself. So only when we see the Bible and only when we see God, we truly know what true hope is. And when you have the true hope, you have the true purpose of your life. And only when you have the purpose of your life, you can live your life in the correct way. If you don't know the value of human life, then you live any way you want. And you think by death everything will finish. Men fall and do all sorts of sins and wicked things. Do you know why? Because they do not know God. Because they lower themselves like animals and they just kill other people because they do not see any value in human life. All sins start from not knowing God. All sins are abstracted from not knowing the real value of human life. Man was created after God's image, after God's life, for God's spiritual plan, God's plan and purpose. We are precious beings. If our life in this world is everything, then there's nothing precious or honorable about man. Let's have a look at Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90. I'll read verse 3. You turn men to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men." He says, "Return. Return to destruction. Return to dust. Our bodies return to dust when we die." But that's not the end. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of animals goes down to the earth. Who knows this? The spirit of animals are the spirit, that's the soul of the physical body. They don't have spirits like man, and that with death they perish. But the spirits of man is the spirit that goes upward and meet God. So if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 7, it says, "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." So our bodies will return to dust, and the spirit that was given by God will return to God. And you have to remember God before that happens. The death is the separation of the body and spirit. So when someone dies, you say, "That person passed away." Our bodies return to dust, and our spirits return to God. Let's have a look at chapter 90, verse 10, and let's read together. "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. If we are stronger, we may live 80 years, otherwise we live 70. This scripture was written 3,000 years ago, and at that time already, the average human life was limited to about 70 to 80 years. When I was in Philippines and India and I talked about this, they couldn't understand because the average lifespan in those countries were about 50 because the condition was really bad. They die early. 70 years. There are many people who die even before reaching 70. If due to health, you can live up to 80. These days we have very advanced medical science and we have good health food, so life expectancy is increasing. But there are many people who die before reaching that. But several decades of our life in this world. If you look at James chapter 4 verse 14, What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Our life is like the vapor that vanishes away. Don't boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Even a very healthy and young person can die suddenly. Someone who goes to work in a very healthy way in the morning can come back as a corpse in the evening. Nobody can guarantee their future. We do not know what will happen in one step into the future. Even if it's long, that's only 7 years. 70 years. If you multiply that by 365 days, have you done that before? Have you calculated the number of days in your life? Why do you just calculate monies and not calculate your days? 25,550 days if you live 70 years. You live 25,550 days. 840 months. Not much. But you don't live all of that. You need to divide it by two. Why? Because you have time to sleep. And you're sometimes sick. And you sometimes spend time sitting on the toilet. You need to take that away. And after that is 12,775 days. You also need to take away some days. The days where you were sad and you had sorrow and where you had suffered. And out of those days, how many days would you have left? So the Bible says our life is like a day fly's life. Day fly. Do you know day fly? The day fly, they do not have mouth because they do not need to eat. Why? Because they just live for a day and they just fall away and die. A mosquito said to the day fly, I'll see you tomorrow. And the day fly said, what a strange thing to hear in my long life. What is tomorrow? He said. Because he does not know tomorrow because it lives only one day. People think they live for a long time, but it is like a day fly's life. Oh, my life is a traveling way. I don't know where I'm from, for I am, nor am I going. Just like a cloud comes and goes, just like you live like a traveler. Let's not leave any love or regrets in this world. Our life is like a life that come empty-handed and go empty-handed. That's right. We come empty-handed, we go empty-handed. We take nothing from this world. We fly away, and we fly away. We go quickly, several decades of our life. Little children want to become adults very quickly. And what do you think when you become adult? Every single year that passes by, you're scared of the time and how fast it passes by. And you'll say, oh my head, oh my back, oh my body, you lose your strength and you have aches and sickness and death approaches you. We fly away. I'll show you something very interesting. What this is this. This is from birth and the baby flies away and see where it flies into. It's interesting, isn't it? A baby is born from the mother's womb and until it reaches into the grave, we go quickly, we fly away. I'm not sure whether they actually read the Bible and made that movie. No, friends, don't think about your life too great because our life is just like a dream in a spring's day. Whether you have good dream or bad dream, when you wake up from dream, it is it. So this life is like a dream. Our life is not all. That's not everything. Why does God have regard for man? Why does he say that our life is in honor? Why does he think about man so much? Why did he sacrifice so much for God? Do you know why? Let's have a look at Psalm chapter 144. Psalm chapter 144, verse 3. Psalm 144, verse 3. Let's read together. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Lord, what is man? What is man? If you want to know what man is, you have to ask God who made man. God, why did you make man? What is man? Then God would answer that question. Now this man, without so much value, if you look at the Bible, our life, our man is like a worm, like a maggot. Sometimes we are filthy like worm and maggots, and we have so much sins. Why does God love man so much? What is man that you take knowledge of him, or son of man that you are mindful of him? If you look at the Bible, God sometimes is worried and God is sad because of man. How much God loves man, we do not know. God so loved the world and he sent his only son and had him die on the cross for man, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Man was formed after God's image so that he will not perish but have everlasting life. Your child may not be handsome as the other child, but you love your child because he is yours. If your child is just about to die because of sickness, you'll say, don't die, my loved one. Why? Because you love your child. I saw once on a TV last time, a father was looking for his son. And he even quit his job. And he was going around to look for his child. And his son was handicapped, disabled child, only elementary school child. And he was looking around. And he goes to the broadcasting companies, TV stations, and newspaper companies, and he makes up these pamphlets to look for his child, and he has the name of his child on his chest, and he goes around the world, around the country, to look for his child. If you think about that, that child was a disabled child. That child will only be a burden to that father all his life. Although we have some sympathy, on the other hand, we might think, oh, it's good, it's a good riddance. But in the parents' mind, it's not like that. Please find my son. The Bible says, God so loved the world. How much did God love us? The Bible says, even your parents may abandon you, but I will never abandon you. Parents can sometimes abandon their child, but God does not abandon men. More than any parents, God loves us. Even if you have a lot of sins, no matter how much sin you have, you will not perish because of your sins. Do you know that man cannot go to hell because of their sins? Of course, a sinner has to go to hell, but sinners do not have to go to hell because sinners don't go to hell because they have a lot of sins. God's love is greater than our sins, and it is more than enough to forgive our sins. The problem is that people do not realize and understand God's love. To have faith in God is to understand God's love. God so loved the world. Now, so loved the world. How much? How much did God love the world? He sent his only son and had him die on the cross, and there was no greater love than that. And God could not even do anything greater than that. So whoever believes in him, do you know what it means to believe in him? To believe in how much God loves us. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. The Bible, the most important message in the Bible is that God loves us. No matter how much you have a lot of, no matter how much sins you have, God still loves us so much enough to forgive our sins. To know that and to have faith in that love is to believe in him. So even if even if they go to church, they do not believe in him. And they're always worried about their sins, and they're worried whether they go to heaven or not. And that's because that person has not understood God's love. So if you look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, there are people who have fear in their heart. It is because they do not know the love of God.
If you have fear in your heart, it means you'll be judged by God. Why? Because if you understand the perfect love of God, that will drive out your fear. I told you about salvation, to be born again. Simply that means to understand and to realize God's love. And salvation is, the problem of salvation is solved automatically. Why does God man loves man so much? Why does God sacrifice so much for man? It is because man is spirit that was made after God's image. God's holy plan and purpose, for God's plan and purpose, spirit was made, and because we have spirits, there's no other reason. A prisoner may be sentenced to death and just about to be executed. But if the judge asks the mother of that man and say, will I execute death sentence to your son or not? And will the mother say, kill him? No, she will say, no, please save him, spare him. He is my only son. Love has nothing to do with law or justice. God's love is unconditional love. That's why God's love can even save sinners who will otherwise perish into hell, into heaven. The robber who was dying next to Jesus, he had been robbing people all his life, and he was dying on the cross with Jesus Christ. And when he asked Jesus, Jesus said, today you will be in paradise with me, today. He didn't go to church, and he was on the verge of being perished into the hell. He was at the door of hell, and he was saved from hell to heaven. In a village, there was a boy, 5-year-old boy. And he's always beaten up by other kids, and he's always not accepted by friends. But he is the only son in 10th generation, and he is the treasure of that household. He's good for anything. He's not good for anything outside, but he's still the treasure in that family household. When I look at myself, I'm not much. And when in other people's eyes, I'm not much, but in God's eyes, I am very precious. Let's follow this. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord. I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord. I may not be much in my eyes, but even though I have a lot of sins, I am glorious in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because I was created in God's image. You should know that. If you know that, you will never disappoint. Some people sometimes, you know, criticize themselves. I am not a human. I am not much. And God would not forgive even me. Why? Is it because you have a lot of sins? Why do you think that God's love is not enough to forgive your sins? Why do you despise God's love? With what right do you reject God's love? God can save any sinner because he does not want any man to perish. Let's have a look at Isaiah chapter 57. Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 57. Verse 15. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits the earthly, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would fail before me and the souls which I have made. High and lofty one who inhabits inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. God dwells in high and holy place and looks on to the humble spirit, humble man and contrite man, and to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the hearts of the contrite ones. Man has committed sins, but if we repent our sins and if we really, truly want to be saved, then to those humble hearts and to the contrite ones, he will revive the spirits of those people. He will revive the hearts of the contrite ones. I will not contend forever. I will not always be angry. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, man, after committing sins, God gave man his punishment. God cursed the earth. God
cause women to go through labor, birth labor, and man had to sweat on his face to eat the food from the ground, and he will return to dust. The labor, the pain of labor, birth labor, and husbands, the man has to sweat in order to feed the wife and children, and the body will return to dust, and that means physical death. But that's not the end of everything. God allowed suffering for men temporarily, but if you look at Jeremiah, Lamentation chapter 3 verse 33, it says, "For he does not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men." He doesn't do it on purpose. Parents sometimes can hit their children. Why? Because the children have to repent from the wrongdoings and sins. God allows suffering for men, but he doesn't do that because he hates people. He doesn't do that for that man will perish eternally. God allows sufferings and pains. And it is not God's will. He didn't do it willingly, but to turn the man away. So he didn't do it eternally, but he does it temporarily, but he does not contend forever. He will not be angry forever, because the spirit would fail before God and the souls which God has made. The spirits and souls, lest the souls and spirits will perish, God will not be angry forever. God has given us the way to be saved through Jesus Christ. Now, do you now know that you have spirits? If you look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Someone can shoot me with a gun. He can kill my body, but he cannot kill my spirit. Spirits do not get old, do not get sick, do not die. If your body dies, then your spirit will go out of your body and meet God. Do you know that? Jesus said, there was a rich person who stored up many things to live for many years and said, "You know, let's be merry." But God will say, "Tonight I will take your life away. You know, your soul is required of you for tonight." You know, God can take your soul away, your spirit away tonight, because God has given you the spirit. He can take it away at any time. Your bodies will die, but your spirits will not die. Let's have a look at Job chapter 19. Old Testament, just before Psalm, Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19. Job chapter 19, verse 26. Let's read together. "And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." My skin, look at me please. This is my skin. When this skin is destroyed, why is it destroyed? Our hearts beat even now without resting. 100,000 times a day, my heart pumps the blood 100,000 times a day. And that's how blood is circulated from the top of the head to the feet. It takes actually a little bit more than a minute for the blood to circulate around my body. It's very quick. And that's why we are alive. But we can die out of sickness or out of old age or out of some kind of, you know, accidents. Our bodies are destroyed and my heart will stop beating. And when heart stops beating, you're diagnosed as dead. And the blood does not circulate and your body will start to rot. Even if you're very handsome, if you die, your body will rot. Famous people, rich people, educated people, their bodies will be eaten by maggots when they die, and it'll return to dust. But that's not the end. "After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." The spirit will go out of my body, and I will see God. Even those people who deny God will have to meet God soon. The question is, are you prepared to meet God? Amos chapter 4 verse 12 says, "Prepare to meet your God, O Israel." While you live in this world, you have to be prepared to meet God. Are you prepared to meet God? Yes? My skin. This is my hand, this is my feet, this is my body. This is my face, this is my my whole body. Even if my hands are cut off, my limbs are cut off, my spirit is still there. Where am I? I am still in here. Is my body me? This is my skin. This is my body. This is my body, physical body. The true myself is created after God's image. And that is the spirit that God so loves and so regards so precious. And that is inside this body. This is my skin. This after skin is my destroyed. My spirit will go and see God. And people think that your body is you. They put all kinds of things onto their body. They put makeup and they paint it on their face. And while they do that, they do not even know their spirits exist. For their spirits, they do not do anything. When people die, people cry over their dead bodies, but the bodies are just a house to live temporarily. So if you look at Galatians chapter 12, this body is compared to a house. And the strong man will bow down and the keepers of the house will tremble. You know, the legs that support the body, the house, will tremble. And after that, the strong men bow down. And old houses have these pillars bent, that are bent down, just like your back bending down forward. And your eyes, the windows will grow dim. Your eyes will grow dim. And you will hear small... And also, the sound of the grinding is a few. Your teeth are grinding stones. Very interesting expressions in the Bible. And what about your tongue? Your tongue is like the sweeper. It actually sweeps all the food into the mouth, then the grinding stones, the teeth, grinds them, the food away. And these grinding stones will cease, will be out, and the grinding will cease. And also the almond tree will blossom, and that means your hair will turn gray. And desire fails, and man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Mourners were mourning for your death. Will go about the streets. This body is not the house in which we live eternally. Our eternal house is up there somewhere above in heaven. I've read this in the newspaper. In Soviet Union, for 40 years, there was a person who was a doctor for 40 years, and he met many patients who returned to life after death temporarily, and he interviewed many patients and recorded the stories of the people who experienced after-death life, after near-death experience, and he reported in the newspaper. And he said this: from life into death, it takes about 5 to 15 minutes, and they go through experience of leaving this world so vividly while during this 5 to 15 minutes period, and they come out of their body and they look down upon their dead body. The spirits actually go outside the dead bodies and look upon the dead bodies. I've met about 6 people who return to life after death. And I've met another person in Russia, so that's 6 altogether. In person, face to face. And many of them told me that they have seen their dead bodies. In Mokpo, I saw a woman. And she came back to life after 2 days after she passed away. And just the day before, the funeral was carried out. And she told me what happened while she was dead. And do you know a place called Banwal near Suwon? There were a lot of farms, and there was a large farm there. And I went to one of the elders' house in that farm to evangelize. And one of the villagers told me about a man in his 50s. He actually experienced after-death life, you know, near-death experience. And he saw his dead body. It was not a dream. It was in reality. And his dead body was covered with sheet. And the family members were crying and mourning because of his death. And he woke up from his death. And there are many millions and tens of millions of people who experienced near-death experience. Those who experienced after-death life. And many of them tell very similar stories. There are many of them. And they have been on TVs a few times. The stories of people who came back to life, you know, from SBS and EBS in many broadcasting companies. In SBS, there was a program called We Want to Find This Out. We Want to Find Out the Truth. And I've actually recorded some of that. I'll show you that.
Do you know there is another world after you die? Or do you think when you die, everything returns to vanity, total vanity? In 1984, November, he was driving back from Pyeongtaek after reporting an event, and he was coming back to Seoul. He was driving at 140 kilometers per hour, and he was changing his lanes. And a car just cut in front of him, and he was trying to avoid that car and hit the concrete wall, concrete divider, and the van jumped 10 meters high into the sky. The moment the van jumped up into the sky, he felt from his head the light of a white light came out of his body, and he was in the experience of another world. I was floating in the ceiling, and for a while I was floating in the room, hospital, just like a balloon near the ceiling. And what's amazing is that I saw everything. Everything was there. The doctors were wiping blood out of my nose, and I thought I had to get up. And I just got up very comfortably. And my upper body, I just lifted up my torso. And I didn't have any feeling, and I just looked back behind me, and my body was lying down behind me. Mr. Soo-min Choi also saw his dead body out of his body, and strangely, he looked at his body with very comfortable heart. And I saw a fluorescent light on the ceiling, just next to me, and I didn't feel it was strange. I thought it was just a light. Mr. Lee was sleeping, his wife sleeping. Mr. Lee actually saw his sleeping wife and children without any feeling, very indifferently. And he was looking at this door, and instinctively he thought he had to get out. And as he was trying to open the door handle, and he felt that he was going through the door handle and coming out of the room. And I heard some sound in my ears, and I felt that I sprang up out of my body. I did not know how, but I was just outside my body. I sat next to me, and I saw who I was. And I felt I was floating up to the ceiling. Then I heard this suddenly, he's dead, he's gone, he's gone. The paramedics told the driver that I was gone. At that time, I was standing behind the paramedic and saw my dead body. But when we met with them, one thing that we felt very strange was, despite the conditions and the environment or religions that they had been living, or different cultures, we found very a lot of similarities in their stories. Now, I was in the ceiling. I was in the ceiling and looked down upon the room, and I was dead. And a sheet, white sheet, was covered upon my dead body. Strangely, he was floated up to the ceiling and saw his dead body that was covered up with white sheet, just like a third person. When I saw, it was a bit strange. You know, there was a room, there was a kitchen, and there were walls. But I saw my wife doing something in the kitchen. Now, it's impossible to see into the kitchen because of the wall, but I saw what she was doing in the kitchen. And strangely, as if he was seeing through the wall, he saw what his wife was doing in the kitchen. Mr. Kyung-sun Lee, who was shocked by penicillin, also experienced a similar thing in the ceiling. The hands of the doctors and nurses, I could see through the hands and see my face. And I didn't have to ask people to get out. I was walking through them. And one thing that was amazing was that they saw their past in their life, and they could judge between good and evil naturally. From the moment I fell from the cliff to the bottom, probably it was only about 1 or 2 seconds. And during that time, I was 26 years old at the time, and everything that I had been through during that 26 years have been calculated right before my eyes. In a moment, you saw everything in your life, right? You flashed up. Yes. Everything that I did was revealed. everything, every wicked things, every evil things that I do. That's why I do not forget that. After going through that experience, they believed that their spirits exist. If to any one of us, if we have that kind of experience, we may get the greatest treasure than anything else. Yes. There are many stories of people who came back to life from death. Jesus said the same thing. There is the world that you go after death. Let's have a look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, 22. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now here, Lazarus, the beggar, died and the spirits were carried off to Abraham's bosom by angels. And it means that he entered into the paradise, the kingdom of God. The rich man also died. And he had parties all the time, feasts all the time, and he died and he left his big tomb and died. But his spirit went into the Hades. And he was in torment in the flames. Beyond death, there are eternal worlds. And people try to forget about these things, but you need to think about these things. People try so hard from early in the morning until late at night to live a good life in this world. Some people prepare for their retirement. How long will your retirement be? But well, you need to prepare for your retirement, but some people actually prepare tombs that they have to go into. Now, I've been to Glendale in Los Angeles. I've been to the cemetery. And I've seen so many luxurious tombs in that park, in that memorial park. And there are many sculptures. And some of them actually are made their cars in stones, sculpted in stone. And even they had some statues of the families. Some people, out of marvel, they actually built a house that is even better than the house for the living people. You know, the king Pharaoh of Egypt, while they were alive, you know, they made pyramids as their tombs, pyramids of the king's tombs. And they make these huge tombs, these great tombs. But in this cemetery, the most expensive and most extravagant tomb, which is still empty, the dead body is not in there yet. Someone has made that tomb, and the owner of that tomb is a Korean. It's a Korean. So different. He has to stand out. He has prepared a tomb for his dead body, but has he prepared for his spirit? People are so foolish sometimes. Their bodies will return to dust and finish. Whether it is cremated and, you know, vanish as smokes. But where is your spirit going? Where is your spirit? Tonight, my body, just like a cloud, will finish. But my spirit that is so precious, where will it go? I want to go to the Lord's kingdom where the Lord has gone. My spirit will live in eternity. Where will your spirit go? You need to be prepared to go to the eternal place. Let's look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 18. Luke chapter 12, verse 18. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease and eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
Some rich person built a great barn and stored many things to live many years and soul, he said. Let's be merry because we have laid up many things for many years. Because he's got a lot of things to last many years. He was quite comfortable. Well, some people actually have wealth to last many lifetimes. In this world, very few people have so much money. The most of the people are poor. But these rich people, they build up their wealth and let's be merry and let's eat and drink. But God says, you're fool. Fool means someone who doesn't know nothing at all. Do you think your soul will be pleased with drinking and eating and all these things? The spirits that God has created, the spirit will be happy when the spirit can live in heaven with God eternally because that was the purpose of its creation. But if you try to live in this world with material things, do you think your spirit will be happy? A little child might have lost his mother and he will say, Mom, Mom. And if you give to that child little toys and lollies, do you think that child will be happy? Well, the child might forget about his mother for a while because the toy is very fascinating and the lolly is very sweet. But only for a while. But after that, the boy will say, Mom, Mom. Until the boy finds his mom, that boy cannot be at ease and at comfort. Man is lost from God because the spirit has gone away from God. The spirit has to go back to God and be in God's bosom. And until we get God's eternal life and eternal hope, we do not have true peace and true happiness. You're trying to comfort your spirit with the things of the world. You fool. Your soul will be required of you tonight. And whose will these things be that you have provided for yourself? Whether it is knowledge or fame or money, is it really yours? People who live in poor countries commit suicide because they are poor. But many rich people also commit suicide because they are rich and have a lot of worries. Why? Even after doing all sorts of things, they cannot be content. They cannot have happiness. They still have fear and they still have conflict in their hearts. That's why they commit suicide. In order to be freed from those pains. But does suicide give you the end? No. Beyond death, beyond the grave is hell, eternal hell that is waiting for you. We talked about what the true happiness in life was. Animals, when they are given physical conditions, they are happy. What are these? They have to have food. They have to have comfortable environment. When you see animal kingdoms, they're always very uneasy and they're always alert. Because they're looking around like this out of their caves. Because if they're not careful, they can be eaten by predators. And they can run away at any warning. And all animals are like that. Stronger animals always eat the weak animals and they eat and eaten. They are in total alert. But when you have no predator and when your environment is comfortable, if you have a lot of food and if you have male and female and if you have offsprings, nothing more to worry about. The animals are really satisfied. But man, although man is provided with all material things, man can never be content. The man can never be happy. Even if you have a lot of riches and fames and monies, you cannot be happy truly. The things that people of the world want. God gave all of that to a person called Solomon. All kinds of things in the world. Solomon enjoyed all the things. God gave him all these things. The house in which Solomon lived was literally made with gold and jewelries. And all the bowls that Solomon used, all the cutleries were made from gold. And so many, he had so much gold and he actually made shields out of gold. And it was only an accessory. It was so heavy, he could not use it in wars. But in Solomon's time, there was no war. It was a peaceful time. Who dared to have war against Solomon? The kings of the world came to Solomon with the gold and silver and gave it to him. And God gave Solomon wisdom. And what did Solomon say? If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 1, it says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem." Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Solomon was the great king of Israel. But his most important role is to preach, evangelist, to preach the word of God. Who God is, what life is, what true happiness is, what true hope is. To preach these, God gave Solomon all these things. And when he has done all these things, he said, "Vanity of vanities, vanity of vanities, all is vanity." He said vanity 5 times. Your eyes cannot be happy with the things you see, and the rivers flow into the sea, but you cannot feel the ocean. The river cannot feel the ocean. Just like that, this very small heart. You know, we cannot be happy with the things we see. We cannot be happy with the things we hear. And if you have a lot of knowledge, you have a lot of worries. You know, much wisdom brings grief. If you have more knowledge, you have more worries. If you learn a lot, you may be respected by people and you may have a comfortable life. But that knowledge, can that give you happiness? No. If you know more, you have more that you don't know. There are more problems and questions. The most intelligent people of the world, scientists, they make computers. They shoot up satellites into this space. And these scientists have the most worries in the world. Why? They have advanced civilization. But not only that, they even made murdering instruments to destroy the mankind. Scientists know that. Scientists know how terrible and how fearful that is. Einstein made nuclear bombs, atomic bomb, and when he was successful in the first experiment, did he really clap and give applause to the successful experiment? No, he said, "God, we finally made hell in this earth. That will destroy the mankind not long after this." Now, people have made all sorts of things out of a lot of research and development, and they've made 60,000 nuclear warheads. And the power of these nuclear warheads is enough to burn this earth more than 100 times. And it only takes 30 minutes to destroy the whole world. When the nuclear war erupts, the world will come to an end. And in 30 minutes is more than enough to destroy this earth. We live because we don't know that. And while we did not know, there were many accidents that could lead into the nuclear weapons, nuclear wars. They didn't intend to have wars. But because of computer malfunctions, because of malfunctions of small parts, and also because of misunderstanding in miscommunications, there could have been many nuclear wars. They have to have nuclear wars even if they don't want to. Scientists know this very well. Science cannot give man happiness. The Bible says in the last time, last age, the war will erupt. It tells in very detail which country will invade first, which country will be destroyed, and how will the things will unfold in the end. If you have enough time, I'd like to tell you this also. We have all these stories, what will happen in the future. Nothing should go wrong. Everything will go according to the prophecies in the Bible. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 10, it says, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase." This is also vanity. Long time ago, silver and gold was like money. People who love money will not be satisfied with money. And people, he who loves with the abundance, with increase, will not be satisfied with increased. What good, what benefit is there for the owner to look and to see the things he owns? Even if you have a lot of money, will you have 10 bowls of rice per meal? Or will you wear 2 suits at the same time? It's all futile effort. You will have no satisfaction. If you have a lot of money, then more people will take it away from you. What benefit is there for the owners other than to see it?
with his eyes.
As for me, you know, there are many people who are not practical. They buy very expensive jewelries like diamonds. You know, they pay, you know, sometimes tens and millions of dollars. And what do they do after they buy? They can't even carry it or wear it on the finger because they are fearful of being stolen. And if you put it in the safe, the Mr. Thief will take it away. Someone else steals it. Now, why do you do that? Why do you buy it and why do you put it there? And they actually wear imitations. You don't need to do that. You go to the jewelry store and they are on display. So if you want to see, you go there and, you know, look at them to your heart's content. You can even touch it. You can even wear it on your finger. Why do you have to store in your safe? You can keep it in the store. What benefit is there? What more benefit is there for the owner to see it for himself? Isn't that right? Do you have to have it in your cabinet, in your safe? People just have so much desire for fame and riches. God has given so much to Solomon, and God asked Solomon, how was it? And Solomon said, I said of the laughter, craziness. And I said of the mirth, what does it accomplish? You know, I did not stop my heart from doing all the things that I wanted. But it was like catching the wind. Everything was futile. Who was better in eating and having joy? Is there anyone who was better in eating and having enjoyment? He had many hundreds of wives and concubines. And Solomon did everything that he wanted in his heart. Man sometimes cannot do, even if he wants to. You may have a lot of desires, but Solomon didn't stop that, and he did everything. No one is better than me at eating and drinking, but compared to the happiness in spirits, it is nothing. What is it? What is this? The physical enjoyment is some physical just enjoyment, but the true happiness in our spirits is something that God gives. If your spirit is saved, then you have true happiness. Until you are saved, you do not have true happiness. So if you look at Psalm chapter 4, verse 7, it says, you have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season than their grain and wine increased. So I have more joy in my heart than people are joyful because of their grains and their increase. When I was saved, I told you about the experience of being born again. No, this is not a lie. One thing that I can say to you in truth is this. After I understood the truth, I became the most happy person in the world. Before that, I always felt inferior. I had a sense of inferior and I actually wanted to live a rich and better life. But after I understood the truth, I never envied other people with better house, better cars, with more affluent life. I did not envy them at all. Even if you have all these things, the gladness in my heart cannot be compared to that. Would they know about my gladness? Even if death comes to me, this true happiness in my heart cannot perish. And this gladness in my spirit, this is what Solomon was talking about. Now, there's something that I wanted to tell you before. Now, let's have a look at this for a while. This is the spirit, and this is the soul, and this is our body. We have three things. This is body, this is spirit, and this is soul, and this is spirit. And sometimes spirit and soul, they are combined, and they are actually referred as soul. But if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, they are separated into three: body, soul, spirit. The body results in appetite and sexual desire and desire to be famous. And this appetite, it is not only eating food, but that's the physical desire, the representative of all physical desire. So it's got physical desires and sexual desires, and these are the natural physical instincts. And what about the soul? Soul wants love, knowledge, and some kind of ideas. The soul, for man, has to be loved. If nobody loves you, If nobody loves you, you cannot be happy. And also knowledge. And people have some kind of ideas and ideology. So this soul can be referred as mind, our thoughts. And also spirit. Spirit is God. Spirit is something that was made after God's image. And this spirit wants to find some God. So we have some kind of religious heart. So if you look at Romans chapter 1 verse 19, it says, they want to find God. They want to find God. Now God has given us this heart in us. So, where man lives, there is always some kind of religion because they want to find God in any form. Monkeys may look like humans. Monkeys can sometimes do things that humans do. In a farm in America, a monkey drives a tractor. And I think it is quite possible. Just last April, I went to Moscow. And I actually saw a monkey driving a car in circus. It was a little car, but nevertheless, the monkey was driving the car. The monkey can drive cars if they are trained. I saw on the television a monkey driving this motor boat. There was no one else on the boat. There was no one else, and the boat was driven by the monkey in a lake. And behind this motor boat was a monkey who was actually riding a water ski. It's great. Didn't you see that? And many monkeys can actually ride bicycles, you know, two-wheel bicycles. There are people who can't ride bicycles here, right? Monkeys can ride bicycles very well. They act as if they are humans. So monkeys can earn a lot of money for their owners. But no matter how hard you teach, something that they cannot do is to pray. There is no monkey in the world that can pray. Have you ever heard of monkey praying? Have you ever heard of bear worshipping idols? No animals pray or worship any kind of spiritual being or give sacrifice offering. There is no monkey with religious heart. Why? Because animals do not have spirits. Because they do not have spirits, they cannot find God. They do not need to find God. That's why the Bible says the animals were born to be eaten, to be killed. They were made for men. Animals cannot have relationship with God. But man, because we have spirits, even if they are not taught, they try to find something. If the sun rises in the morning, they bow down towards the sun and pray. Because they cannot see God, they find something that they can see. And they thought the sun is the highest, and the out of idol worshippers, the sun god is the highest god. And some people worship stars and they make something and worship that idol. So this religious heart, desire for some kind of God. I've been to Japan and there are so many gods in the corners of Japan. And they even worship the pickle god, god of pickles. And what kind of god is that, if you ask? And they say, oh, that's not really God. But and we ask them, why do you worship them? And they say, well, if we just try to find any kinds of god, we will perhaps find the true God. No, if you just go to any person in the street and say, Father, Father, will you meet your father? That's religion. All the religions of the world are efforts of mankind to find God. So the spirit actually gives us the heart to find God. And also we have conscience. We have this desire for the good, the conscience. So if you look at Romans chapter 2, it says the conscience actually tells you what you have done wrong. Even if nobody has seen you doing something wrong, your conscience actually says to you, reports you that you're doing something wrong. So if you actually close your eyes, you see all your sins, and you sometimes actually see your sins and crimes in your dreams, and that's why some people actually turn themselves into the police. If you do something wrong, you have conscience. Are you a man? You're no better than animals, and you have this, you know, complaints from the conscience. But animals do not have conscience. Conscience belongs to the spirit. Heart, you know, mind and conscience, they are two different things. Conscience, minds are different from people to people, but conscience are not. Dogs may have mauled the son of the owner to death, and does the dog have pang of conscience? No. If the dog is to be beaten to death, then the dog will run away because of it's afraid of death. But does the dog say, oh, am I a dog? Am I a dog? You know, I mauled my son, my owner's son to death. You know, dogs do not have that kind of conscience. Man may not know, but the spirit knows the judgment that is before him. And you have fear in your conscience. So we need to reestablish right relationship with God. And when we are saved, you can be freed from our pang of conscience and we can be comfortable. And also, if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says, God has given eternity in our hearts. God has put eternity in our hearts. So we have desire for eternity. You know, our bodies long for things that are seen, that are temporary, that are material, but our spirits always long for the things that are spiritual, eternal life. So until we receive eternal life, we cannot be happy and content. So to be born again, to be saved, means to establish right relationship with God and to be forgiven of our sins and to be freed from the pang of conscience, guilt of conscience, and to have eternal hope of entering into eternal life, eternal world. So you need to solve these problems. Until these three problems are solved, you cannot be happy, you cannot be satisfied. Even if you have a lot of money, you cannot be happy. When you're poor, you think you're miserable because you don't have money, and you think you will be happy if you have a lot of money, but you cannot be happy even if you have a lot of money. And what do you do with the money you have? You start to commit sins. So the rich people have even bigger worries. Happiness cannot be bought with money. So God has given us, God wants to give us eternal life and eternal hope. And until we receive this eternal life, we cannot be happy. The time is almost gone, so we'll just talk about a little bit more and have a look at some verses. Let's have a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. Now he says there is time for everything and purpose, every purpose under heaven. Now let's have a look at this. The God created the fathers of mankind, Adam and Eve. And from Adam and Eve, we are all born and we are living our lives in this world. To everything there is a season. Now God has determined pre-appointed time. If you look at Acts chapter 17, God determined pre-appointed time. God did not plan for this world history to last many millions and billions of years. He did not allow that. When God began the beginning of human history, God already determined the end of the world history, pre-appointed time. A skylark makes its nest and lays eggs. And when it takes away its chicks, it does not return to the nest. The nest was made to give birth to the eggs and hatch the eggs, not to live there eternally. This earth is like the nest of the skylark. We are not here to live forever. In order to prepare the people who will enter into heaven, God made this earth. When all these people are prepared, then this end will come. When the gospel is preached all over the world, then the end will come. And that means this world will be gotten rid of. God does not want to give this world to us eternally. God made the eternal world and perfect and glorious world, the new heaven and new earth. Revelation chapter 21 verse 1 says this, talks about this new world. In order to give this new world, eternal heaven, God wants to give us this, that. And man came to this world to receive eternal life, to go into eternal kingdom, heaven. This world is a process through which we can go into heaven. That's why God determined pre-appointed time. And when this time is finished, the world history will be finished. And we only have a little bit left in this world. And after that, this world will turn into the living hell. And this world will have to finish. No, it's not just good because if you live long life in this world, our life is 70 to 80 years of age. If you live appropriate life, we need to leave this world. If you live long enough, we'll be turned into monsters. I'm sorry to say this. Why do we live in this world? Why do we need this life? While we live in this world, we need to be saved. Not only that, we live the rest of our lives as God's children, as worthy of His children, and go into the heaven so that we can have this, you know, qualification to enter into His kingdom and live for God and go into heaven. That's why we need several decades of this life in this world. We have, so to everything there is a reason, there is a season and time for every purpose under heaven. There is a time to be born, there is a time to die. Did you think about the purpose of your life? I didn't think about that. It is not set by you, it is set by God. That's why if you do not know God, you don't need purpose of your life. You do not need reason for your life. And there is a time to sow, and there is a time to pluck what is planted. What has God given man? Let's have a look at verse 11 and read together. He has made everything beautiful in His time, and He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. The God has made everything beautiful in its time. Spring, we have flowers, and we have fruits in summer. We have, you know, cool fruits, like watermelons. The summer fruits you have to eat quickly, otherwise it'll rot away very quickly. And in autumn, in fall, we have crops to live through the winter. And after that, we have the new things. And all these things in the nature are made so appropriately beautiful. And He has, to man's heart, He has put eternity. He has put eternity, desire for eternity. This is a bit very strange. Now, God has given us desire for eternity forever, forever. I want to live with the Lord. Forever. Man has this desire to live forever. This is the desire to live forever for man. Because man came to this world to receive eternal life. Jesus came to give us eternal life. We came to receive this eternal life. We didn't come to suffer. We didn't come to die. We came to receive eternal life, to go to heaven. This world is only a preparation stage to go to heaven. He has given us desire for eternity. If you have desire, you always have subject of the desire. As soon as a baby is born, what does the baby look for? Does the baby look for cigarettes? Whether there is mother's milk, mother's breast or not, the baby didn't learn how to suckle mother's breast, but the breast is there. When the mother hugs the baby, the mouth of the baby and the mother's breast, it is exactly right. It is at the exactly right position. If the nipple is on the back, that would be very, very uncomfortable, inconvenient. And what about the mouth of the baby? If the baby's mouth is small and the mother's breast is so large, the nipple is so large, that's not good. You know, it is exactly the right size. And the temperature is the perfect temperature, and the taste is perfect, and nutrients are also perfect. Have you read that on the newspaper? I saw it on the newspaper. The newborn baby, the nutrients for the newborn baby and nutrients for the 100-day-old baby, it comes from the same mother's milk, but the nutrients for the newborn baby and the nutrients for the 100-day baby, it's all different. Now, if you actually look at the baby food, you know, you actually have to buy the baby food depending on the days of the age of the baby. And what about the milk from the mother's breast? You know, if the baby becomes 1 year old and it does not need any milk anymore, then there's no nutrients in mother's milk whatsoever. This is so great design. Just look at the animals. The animals, as soon as they are born, they find their mother's milk. And God, who has given this heart desire to find this milk? It is the Creator's skill. When you have desire, you have subject of the desire. And when you're thirsty, what do you look for? When you're thirsty, and if you don't have water, that'll be terrible. If you're hungry, you have food. If you have desire, you have subject of the desire. If you reach adolescence, you have opposite sex. Out of all the people in this world, where is my partner? Where is my man? Where is my woman? Maybe he or she will be there somewhere. Well, everybody has partners. If you have desire, you have the subject of the desire. Why has God given eternity in our hearts? Because there is eternal world. We came to find this eternal life. That's why we have desire for eternal life. So when we understand the truth, we receive eternal life. We have desire to receive eternal life. And if you try to actually feed that desire with all the material things like that rich man in Luke chapter 12, my soul, let's be happy, let's eat and drink. Your soul, your spirit cannot be happy with those things. Jesus said, I am the way, truth and life. And nobody can come to Father except through me. Jesus came to open the way to eternal life. And when you know that way, that's the truth, and that is eternal life. That's why Jesus is the way and truth and eternal life. We need to find this way. We need to find this truth. That's why we came to this world. And that's in the Bible. When we understand that, you have eternal life. So long time ago said, if you understand, if you find the way in the morning, I can happily die at night. If my spirit finds the way to eternal life today, then my body can die, that's okay. Because the purpose of my life has been fulfilled. After my skin is destroyed, I shall see God. Now you and me who are here today, in several decades, nobody will be remaining in this world. Where will we be? Death is not the end of our life. Beyond death, we will be in eternal world. Heaven is eternal world. Hell is also eternal world. Out of the two, where will you go? Heaven is a place where you live with God eternally in glory. Hell is a place where you will be in pain eternally with Satan. Where do you want to spend your eternity? What about you? Where will you go in eternity? Where will you spend your eternity? God has prepared an eternal place for us. And God wants to bring us to that place. Now this time, we came to solve these problems. Now the things of the world will be endless until you die. Let's just put that aside for a while. Just for the time being. Let's just not think about that for a while. And let's think about our spiritual problems this time. All those people who are here, I'm sure that this will be the last opportunity, last precious opportunity for you. Don't think that this opportunity will be coming to you repeatedly after one after the other. So don't be absent even for one day. Just come every day and you just have to listen to the words of God. And I'm sure if you do that, the problems will be solved. You expect that and come to this Bible seminar without any absence. Please do not be absent, because otherwise the next seminar will be hard to understand. So please come every day. Let's pray now. Merciful our Father God, we are now living in the last days as you have pre-appointed. Not in a long distant time, this world will face God's wrath and God's fury. But we thank you for giving us this opportunity to learn about you, to understand your plan and your mysteries, and also the chance to be saved like this time. And all those people who have heard your words, please take charge of their hearts and hold them with your mighty hand. So before the end of this Bible seminar, let us all receive eternal hope and eternal life. Until we meet again next time, I commit all of them into your gracious words, and we pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.